Poetry in video games may seem like strange bedfellows, but in a Super Mario video game, poet Stephen Sexton has found a shared symbolic world. She's setting quests and puzzles, which he explores with lyrical flair. His new collection is called If All the World and Love Were Young. Colm Keegan has been reading it for us. He's with me in studio this evening. Stephen Sexton, he's from Belfast, Colm, and he's been making quite a name for himself, it has to be said, in this. This is the debut collection, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a lot being made of him, and for good reason. I think, like, he won the Poetry Society's National Poetry Competition in 2016 with his poem Curfew, and like that had 12,000 entries, you know, big deal in the UK. Shortlisted for the Forward Prize this year, again another reason that he's in the news even before. And then he teaches at the Seamus Heaney Centre for Poetry in Queen's University Belfast, and you have to remember, like that's the hotbed of Anglo-Irish poetry, you know what I mean? Like, you can nearly slot them into a Heaney-sized hole, kind of, and this is where Irish poets like the Morrisseys, the Heaneys, the Muldoons, they all get injected into the collective subconscious of the Anglophone world, you know what I mean?
And in fact, I think comparisons have been made between Stephen Sexton and Heaney in particular, that he's kind of lifting up that torch perhaps some way. Super Mario, though, I didn't really think it would be the subject of a poetry collection, but it links into Stephen Sexton's PhD studies.
Yeah, so like when he won that competition back in 2016, he mentioned in a couple of interviews that he was working on a Mario poem and that he was playing around with it, but then it exploded into this big sprawling work, which is like kind of a single poem. But you have to remember, like, Mario has to be, like, you have to understand it's like this globally totemic thing that happened to my generation, you know what I mean? Like, it was the biggest selling kind of video game on the Super Nintendo. Like, my ma had to hide the Super Nintendo on us all the time, and it was Super Mario. Like, we lived in Super Mario World. So
a lot of people did.
So when he goes back to this, and it's like, I can imagine him going, yeah, this is a bit of crack, you know, and then he just gets lost in it, because Super Mario World is a huge, gigantic, sprawling game. And then what was going on for him when he was playing Super Mario, that's where, like, you think it's a bit of a joke, it's a bit of a fun thing, but it's really profound and poignant what's going on in the book, because...
Yeah, there's a real poignancy around his mother and his mother's death.
Yeah, so that's, the book is really functions as eulogy, and it's full of this kind of sense of... Tunis, you know, so the poem kind of exploded out of this relationship with Mario, but then it's like it's an ekphrastic work, so it's always like something. It's about like
by which we mean a poem that refers to another work of art.
Kerry O'Brien writing about the Rose Winners in Notre Dame. Keith writing about a Grecian urn, and like he was like, so when he goes back, and there's another thing, it's kind of focusing on this particular photograph that his mother took of him when he was 9, sitting there with his back to his mother, which is poignant in a way. He's been ignored. He's been used to make this work of art, which is the photograph. The photograph is gone. So when he thinks back to Mario World, he thinks back to the photograph and he thinks back to his mother. And both of them are lost. So it's like...
His mother is dead. His mother died since that. And so she had taken this photograph. So in some ways, that's one work of art, but it's gone.
And it's gone.
He can't find the photograph. And does he treat Super Mario as a work of art? The game?
That's the thing about it. So we thought, like, and again, like, my generation, I can totally relate to this. Like, he's thinking, like, you know, to respond to a classic, like, to Caravaggio or something, you know, it's a bit overdone, and it's like, that's all, like, that's a Renaissance painting, and like, where's the things that are impacting on us right now? And you might think that Super Mario is too, like, populist or simple, but it's a great, like, it's almost Jungian kind of, or Jungian to kind of connect our own myths and our own stories, our own narratives to this Mario, which is like a really shallow kind of flat character to superimpose anything on. So it's full of potential, but then he's only using it partially. It's not really all of that, like, and it's very trippy. The war kind of jumps between his life and the video game life all the time, and it's probably best understood if you hear it or read it.
I was going to say, Yoshi's Island, for the uninitiated in terms of Super Mario, Yoshi's Island is...
Yoshi is like... It's not a word I'd say loud that much these days. But like, so Yoshi is like this kind of mystical steed, like a Pegasus, if you will. But he's a cartoon dinosaur that Mario uses to travel through Super Mario World. So Yoshi's Island is where the whole game starts.
Right.
So this is Yoshi Island 1. Here, spotted mountains and cirrus. Here, sloping plateau drawn down on carnivorous plants and no sun gold. By the cherished underground, fly agaric throbs everywhere with fire plants and dinosaurs. In these days new as tomorrow, there is joy to be recorded. The tender steps in other lands, all the flowers of the garden. My mother winds her camera. The room is spelled with sudden light. A rush of photons at my back, a fair wind from the spectral world. I remember myself being remembered, a little lotus, a cross-legged meditant for whom the questions floating in the air are for a future self to voice decades from now, who will return again and again to this room and these moments of watershed. It will be an adventure, I think. It will be an adventure. The future is cannon blasting. Yes, I must have dreamt this. Her voice narrows into dreams of such things. Ships sink at the edge of the world.
And that's Colm Keegan reading from Stephen Sexton's new collection. That collection is called If All the World and Love Were Young. And the poem we just heard, Yoshi's Island one. And the mention is in there, Colm, obviously, of the mother's photograph.
Yeah.
Very noticeable, just as you were reading it there, just how long the sentences are, how much the lines don't break up. There's a real flow to the way he's written it. I presume that's part of the technique of the poet itself.
Like everywhere kind of things shimmer. It's really interesting from a style point of view. Like there's no punctuation, there's no rhyming, there's no stanzas for the most part. Poems are just like, and they're almost square, less but never half the size of the, like just never over half the size of the page. Mm. And everything's kind of constrained in this sort of 16-bit imagery in the poetry.
Yeah, now just explain that a bit, because you know, and I know this might become a little bit anoraki, yeah. So let's not go too far down that road. But the 16-bit thing is about how data is stored, and Nintendo is a 16-bit memory game. So you have 16 little units, if you like. Yeah. And there's something about octets, and in fact, they're divided into two groups of eight.
Yeah.
And he's using octets, double octets, in his poems as well, is he?
Yeah, so he kind of, like, he's structurally limited in his world and the amount of time he gets to say anything, you know. But what's more interesting than that for me, because is like was saying about a poem might just be one long sentence. There might be no punctuation in it. There might be no commas, even though commas feel necessary. And he once said in an interview that even a clumsy or ugly phrase can possess a shimmer depending on its context. And if you remember, and anyone out there will remember this, when you turn on Super Mario World, everything's dancing left to right, everything's shimmering one way or the other.
And what is that word shimmer? You've mentioned it a few times now.
And even on the front of the book, you know, he's got the coin, which is like the thing when if Mario hits a rock, like it pings, I see that logo or that symbol and I hear that ping. So it's kind of hallucinogenic in that way, almost synesthetic. And like the coin also is like the O-ball, you know, the thing that we have to pay the ferryman to cross the river to the land of the dead. And this book takes us into the land of the dead.
So he really is taking something like Super Mario and giving us a big mythical and exploring the mythical qualities within the story.
Yeah. And it's kind of gigantic in scope. Like we go to South Africa, we go down into these deep like kind of mines that were built like back in the day in the South Africa.
And did he have was there a grandparent who was a miner?
His grandfather was a miner, and that's touched on in the poem, like Corfu that won that competition back in 2016. But the other thing just to remember with him is like
with Stephen Sexton,
is that like he gives us the responsibility is on our imaginations to make something from the words, like which words pull the most, because words kind of have this gravity. I can show you again in another poem if you'd like me to share one, which is Lemmy's Castle.
Yeah.
And there's two things going on here. So in the plot of Super Mario World there are different like boss battles and there are different like landmark moments in it, and he superimposes those landmarks on the landmarks in his life,
in his own life.
He's in the hospital with his mother when she's sick, and he's playing the game at the same time, and he kind of joins those things together. So in Blue Scrubs, the Merlins apply various elixirs, potions, panaceas to her body, some hemostatic medicines and a soupçon of opiate. The hospital's huge boiler plant rumbles, hums like a volcano. The wards swelter in greenhouses where all the patients start to look the same. They are gradually replaced cell by corrupted cell. At bedsides of parents, children hold it together. Their children play games on their little handhelds. Young faces lit up in the light, oblivious to the passing moments. Since there is the question now of Lemmy in his castle, hiding among the heating vents, confusing us with his body, doubles. We would know anywhere that smile or pool of lava or protruding from the row of pipes those legs like Bruegel's Icarus.
Lemmy's Castle there, Colm Keegan reading it from, say, Stephen Sexton's debut collection, If All the World and Love Were Young. You were going to say it, Colm?
Just there, like, you see there, patients start to look the same. They are gradually replaced cell by corrupted cell. And there's always this kind of sense of infraction or invasion. Like, so the pixels are pouring into the poems.
Yeah,
in the same
corrupted cell is a very computer term, computerized
exactly.
term as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but
isn't
then,
it?
And it's all about like kind of like the, he's allowing the poems to be as vulnerable in some ways as a patient who's struggling with cancer. You know, so they're all kind of the poems are infected with pixels.
But you know the way sometimes when in this ekphrastic world, in the classical poetry world, when something is referring to another work of art, people will say, why do I have to know about the other work of art to understand this poem? Do you have to be do you have to be very aware of Super Mario and all the different levels and all the different references that that Sexton is making in this collection to really get what he's getting at?
I think it definitely informs the work more if you know all of that stuff. Like, so for an uninitiated, like, Super Mario World gamer, like, so someone out there who doesn't know, they're kind of going to miss it. Like, even the Forest of Illusion, Forest Ghost House, these are the titles, Vanilla Fortress, like, and they have no relation, really, unless you understand
where. So if you're a gamer, if you know Super Mario, those will carry a whole set of connotations for you.
Yeah. And if you want to get really anoraki about it, you could actually kind of like Google all these maps and then like look at it and say, and then there is something to be gained from that. So the book operates like a video game in that way. It takes us through these worlds. There's a sense of reward if you start to play by its rules, even to the point where at the end of every video game you have a credit section, and the book itself has a credit section which reads like a really fun kind of list poem that goes on for a couple of pages, you know.
This clearly did something very strong for you, the reading of this collection. Would you recommend it, Colm?
Yeah, I would. Like, I mean, it's like it's a really subtle work, you know, and I really, really enjoyed it. And like in some ways, when there's a lot of noise, like, you know, every poem in this book is a marvel. Sally Rooney saying in the back, it's published by Penguin. All the things are kind of teed up for it, and there's a lot being made of. It's like there's a lot being made of it before he even opens his mouth. And then the comparison to Heaney, that's like comparing a new songwriter to Bob Dylan. You know, like it's kind of a death knell. So it's better to read him on his own terms. And when you do, like, you know, it's beautiful. It's exciting work. It's not like gonna like break, like blow your mind in terms of like, it's not challenging, like politically challenging or anything like that, but it's a really beautiful and poignant eulogy to his mother. And then for anyone of my generation, it's exciting, like any new work of art should be exciting, you know. So I definitely recommend it, 100%.
Right. Do you think your mammy will give you an extra go on the Nintendo tonight? Would be a good buy in the review?
My mother has a Super Nintendo, she won't let me play.
Right. Colm Keegan speaking to us about Stephen Sexton's new collection, which is called If All the World and Love Were Young. It's published by Penguin.